Well, good morning. As the children are making their way to Children's Church upstairs, I just want to take a moment and welcome you to the Highland Hills Church of Christ, where we are try every day to experience more of the love of God, to share more of the love of God, as we say on our slogan or our mission statement, as much of a mission statement as we have, that we are here to love God, we are sharing Christ, serving others, and transforming lives. And this morning, that's what we're all about. And that's what this morning is about, is coming and communing together and remembering the death of Christ, remembering the life of Christ, and singing praises about, especially this time of year, singing praises about the birth of Christ and the joy and just the story that we get to live and to be a part of. And this morning, as we go into more of our Christmas season sermon series and we talk more, you know, one of the things that I love about Highland Hills, and, you know, we've been here now for going on 4.5 years. And, you know, sometimes it seems like it's been, you know, 14 and a half, and sometimes it feels like, you know, this is our first year. But, you know, I fall in love with this congregation more and more. And one of the things that I love about being here is the fact that we as a community of believers, we as a congregation, we make no bones about it that we celebrate Christmas. And we celebrate it this time of year, and we talk about the birth of Christ, and we sing Christmas carols, and we do the tree and these beautiful flowers. And you guys, I tell you what, y'all need to hug Vicky Fuel's neck when you see her and thank her for these beautiful flowers that she does. You know, anytime you see this up here, it's 99% Vicky Fuel puts that up there. And isn't that beautiful? And I was just looking at that today as we sang and thinking about the offering at, you know, just to me, that's just like the offering at the foot of the cross. Just, you know, this time of year especially. And I love the fact that we make, you know, we don't hide it. We're not ashamed of it. We celebrate the birth of Christ this time of year. And guess what? It probably wasn't. Might have been in Marchish sometime around there. And you know what? Christmas might have started out as some kind of pagan holiday, but we're sanctifying it. We're making it holy. And that tree that we all have in our house, it started out, you know, there's a legend and a story about all that, that it started out as kind of a earth worship, unholy thing. And we all have it, and we've got one in our foyer, and there are places that would say that that's not, we're sanctifying that tree out. We put an angel or a star or something on top of it, and we adorn it with spiritual things. And you know what? We're taking something that might be started out as pagan or might be unholy, and we're making it holy. Isn't that what our lives are supposed to be about? Isn't that what our very existence in this place and on this planet is all about? Is to take a broken and unholy earth that was broken at the fall and these broken lives and make them holy. Take this earth and make it something that is redeemed. That's what salt and light does. It preserves and it makes something that's dark better. It makes something that's going to die and decay. It makes it preserved and keeps it around. And that's what God's called us to do. I love the fact that we will meet the world where it is and sanctify so much of this experience. So as we celebrate, as we talk about, as we pray and sing about the birth of Christ this time of year, when everyone in the world is talking about the beginning of the life of Christ, we can talk about it too and celebrate it and just enjoy the fact that our God loves us enough to enter into this life with us. To not leave us in our brokenness, not leave us in our sin, but to enter in. And John says that he came and the Word became flesh and tabernacled or tented or lived among us. And we can celebrate that. And this morning I want to talk about the gift of joy. As we continue with the with this idea of the gifts that God gives us, you know, Christmas time is all about the gifts. And yesterday we my family was spread out on both ends of Tennessee. One playing soccer in Nashville, one wrestling in Chattanooga, and it was a lot of fun. And we got done wrestling, and we went Christmas shopping because, you know, let's face it, it's all about the presents. It's all about the gifts. You know, the kids are so excited about the presents that they're getting. But you know, one thing I love is, and you know, everybody who's had kids understands, when you take them Christmas shopping, don't they get excited about the things they get to buy? The things that they get to pick out? Because they love giving. We all love giving things, but honestly, we like to get to. I mean, come on. It is about the getting. And sometimes we think about the right things, and it's so much more spiritual to think about what we need to be giving. But I believe as people, as broken people who need to experience God, who need to make this connection with God, that so often it might seem like the right religious thing to do to talk about what we need to be doing and what we need to be giving and how much harder we need to be trying. But this time of year especially, we really need to be thinking about all that God gives us. And this morning I want to talk, last week we talked about the gift that God, you know, start our purpose and the gift of purpose that He gives us. And this week I want to talk about the gift of joy. And again, I've got on there the gift of joy for you, because it's personal, it's individual. These gifts, they're not just this global thing that God gives to the church, corporately, and it's not, you know, just the purpose of the church, although the church universal has a purpose. But you know, you have a purpose. Bob has a purpose. Wes has a purpose. Stacy, purpose. Julie, purpose. We all have that purpose, and the joy isn't just on Sundays when we get together and we can sing these beautiful songs and we can pray these beautiful prayers and we can take communion and have joy on this one day corporately as a group, but we have joy every day. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 16. I mean, this is an easy verse to memorize. Be joyful always. You know, he goes on to say, give thanks in all circumstances. And he says, because this is God's will for you. I've used this scripture and some like it a lot, because we all talk about the will of God in our life. It's to be joyful. It's to have joy. But there's so much that hinders that. You know, God's gift of joy at Christmas is something that sometimes we have a hard time experiencing. You know, not only this time of year, because, you know, depression skyrockets at this time of year. Disappointments are at an all-time high. And this time of year especially can be not so joyous for people. But isn't that the case all the time? Don't we find it sometimes hard to experience the gift of joy that God gives us, especially in economic times like we're having right now? You know, there's so much that keeps us from experiencing joy. And until we address that very question, and until we understand what is it, you know, because I try to be joyous. I know that the Bible says that. I know 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16 says to be joyful always, but Shane, you don't understand how difficult that is for me. Until we address those issues, the what keeps me from experiencing joy on a full-time basis, it'll be hard for us to fulfill God's will. First thing that we need to just understand is that the bad things that shouldn't happen to us, that keeps me from experiencing the joy that God is trying to give me. You know, I focus on these things, whatever it is. Maybe it's a job loss or a relationship disappointment, whatever. Maybe it's just, you know, sickness or the lack of something. Bad things happen all the time, and it keeps me from experiencing what God has for me. And then I think about the good things that don't happen. The disappointment, you know, I prayed for this and I prayed for this and I prayed for this and it didn't happen. Or I really, really wanted this particular situation to come to fruition and it didn't. And there was good things that I wanted and they didn't happen. And so now I'm disappointed. And I think these two right here can pretty much sum up all the circumstances that keep us from experiencing the gift of joy that God wants us to have. What does this boil down to? It boils down to our perspective. It boils down to what are you know, our expectations of what this life should be like. That bad things should never happen. But we're never promised that. And actually, in the exact opposite is true. We're told in the very beginning, didn't God say in Genesis when sin entered the world and death was a subsequent of sin? He said, now this life's going to be hard. There's going to be thorns. There's going to be thistles. There's going to be sweat. There's going to be pain. There's going to be all of this because of the brokenness. Don't be so surprised. Don't get our hopes up thinking that bad things aren't going to happen, because that's going to rob our joy. And he says, look, you know, I can't promise you that every good thing. He says, the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. So if I think that nothing but good is going to happen, then my expectations of this broken planet, this broken existence, is going to be way too high, and that's going to rob my joy. An example just came to mind, and I apologize for this, Chris, in advance, but Chris just started wrestling this week. Chris Ross. Y'all know him. He's huge. He just started wrestling this week. Now, he was probably goaded into this by his best friend Garrett, somebody that he looks up to in me, and I said he'd be an awesome wrestler, and I talk about Hayden wrestling all the time. And so Chris was influenced to wrestle. And you can see he had his first wrestling tournament yesterday, right? Chris has been wrestling half a week now, 2 days. Got a big scrape on his face right there, battle scar. Garrett's got a fat lip because he got... Chris, how many matches did you win yesterday? 0 matches. You were mad, weren't you? Why? This is me and Chris in the room here talking. He wanted to win. You expected to win, didn't you? Garrett, how likely is that? Not. Guys, wrestling's hard. It's like 70% technique and the other half is physical. I mean, Chris is an opposing creature out there on the mat, no doubt about it. You give him another month or two, it'll be a whole different outcome. Because Chris is a big, strong boy. And he's wrestling other kids his size, but I've seen him move. I've wrestled Chris. Not one of the smartest things I ever did in my life, but Howard was there. Now, I've been around the block. This isn't my first rodeo, but I didn't want any piece of that after about 30 seconds. It was ugly. I mean, people thought, oh, that's funny. And I was having a heart attack. But expectation. And after, yeah, I guarantee you, yesterday was a hard day for my brother. Because I know how he thinks. And it is for a lot of us like that. We get our expectations so high instead of being realistic. Coaches, parents, preachers, friends telling them, look, dude, you've been doing this 2 days. They're probably going to kill you today. And that happened. But we get down. We get mad. We get, oh, I don't want to talk about it. It's hard to experience that joy when our expectations are so incredibly out of whack. Realize there's going to be days that bad things happen. They shouldn't happen. They shouldn't rob our joy. There's going to be days where good things don't happen that we really think should. But if we dwell on that, it's going to rob our joy. The reality is, how do I choose joy? The gift that God wants to give us is like every other gift. It's like our belief. It's like our faith. It's like love. It isn't something that just happens. It isn't based on circumstances or happenings or any of those things that are out of our control. The amount of joy that we have, the gift that we get from God, I promise you, is a choice. It's a choice that we are faced with every minute of every day. So the question then becomes not how do I manipulate my circumstances so that I'm never disappointed, so that I never have bad things, so that I never have good things that don't happen. You know, it's not about manipulating those things. It's about how do I choose joy. The first thing is choose to hear the good news. This morning we have had read to us an account out of Luke chapter 2, and I'm telling you, you could live to be 1,000 years old. You will never see anything more precious in your life than those three souls getting up here reading that scripture. I mean, here's the beauty of that. All three of those children were reading the Bible last night in preparation for that. Now, isn't that a beauty? There was at least two homes where by little children, the Bible was being openly read in preparation for that. What a blessing. What a legacy. So you can live to be 1,000. You'll never see anything more precious. And in Luke chapter 2, what did they read? They said, don't be afraid, Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. I bring you good news of great joy. The reality of our life is that over and over and over again, every minute of every day, we have a choice. We can choose to dwell on the expectations that our fallenness has created within us, or we can choose to hear the good news that God has brought to this place. I could end the sermon right there. Don't get your hopes up. I'm not. We can choose to hear the good news. I mean, it's the good news about it, not just the good news about the birth of Christ, not just the good news about the life, the perfection of Christ, not just the good news about the death of Christ, not just the good news about the empty tomb and the 50 days of Him walking around. It's not about the ascension and our Savior being in glory. I mean, we get to hear the good news about our place in the story if we choose to hear that good news. You know, one thing I love is that what Scripture says blatantly, we lock on to. We hear, I bring you good news of great joy. But you see, this news is for everyone. The good news that we have a choice, that we have an opportunity, that we have the ability to hear every minute of every day, not just about the Christmas story, but about the purpose and the place and the invitation that we have into the story of God. It's for each one of us, not just the preacher or the elders or the Sunday school teacher, but it's for everyone. Not just us, but for those out there. You see, in Romans chapter 1, 16 through 17, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to read those two passages in reference to the good news that is for everyone. He says, I'm not ashamed of the good news. Paul is writing to a group of brand new Christians because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. You know what that last part says? That the righteous will live by faith? You know what's impacted in there? If you study the understanding of the righteousness that is imparted from God to us and the faith that it takes for us to understand that and for us to experience it. You know what part of that the righteous will live by faith? The righteous will choose to hear the good news, and that will affect every part of their life. Those who are by choice experiencing the joy that God gives them, the joy that God wants their life to be immersed in. Those who are righteous, those who have accepted a righteousness from God, not of their own making, they'll live by faith. They'll experience that joy. So we have to ask ourselves, how do I choose joy? Number two, choose to do what God says. Go back to the birth story. Go back to the story of in Luke chapter 2. What did he say? You know, you see the shepherds, they were and the Bible says, I love the Snoopy, the Linus reading that. He said, and they were sore afraid. As long as I live, I'll never forget that voice. And they were sore afraid. Oh, they were sore afraid. But what do they do? He said, go and tell, you know, go back to Luke chapter 2. He says, the angel says to them, go back there. I got to get there too. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with them. The angel praising God saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. When the angel had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to them, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened which the Lord has told us about. They said, look, you need to go to this place. Here's the story, guys. I bring you good news. This is what it looks like. You'll see this child. He'll be laying in a manger, wrapped in clothes, and all of this is going to happen. And you know what they did? They said, let's go see. They said, let's do what the angel told us to do. Let's go to this place. It's one thing to hear the good news, to choose to dwell on the good news, and then it's another thing to do what the good news says. Trust that you will find what God has promised. That's when our lives will start to change. It's one thing to have an intellectual assent to the gospel. Okay, I can believe that Jesus was born. God, I'll buy the fact that He was your Son, you sent Him, and all of that. I believe that you're real, that Jesus was your Son, that He lived, He was perfect, da, da, da. But will we trust the good news enough to go looking for it? To look for it to do the things to put us in the places where the good news will be experienced by us. You see, it's one thing for these shepherds to experience the angel and to hear the story. It's a whole other thing for them to move from where they were to go and see for themselves. Think about this for just a minute. Now, I'm going to rewrite some of this and read between the lines, but I'm pretty confident that you'll agree that you've heard stories like this. What if these shepherds saw the angel? I mean, and you know, we would all be sore afraid as well. I mean, what a spectacle there in the field. You're just minding your business, sleeping with the sheep. The next thing you know, there are heavenly hosts surrounding you, talking to you. They tell you about some amazing event. They tell you about something that maybe you've even heard of in legends and stories before. And you're like, wow, isn't that incredible? Isn't that amazing? And then they just stay there. They stay there with their sheep. You know, we've got, that's great. Good news. We've got these sheep to take care of. We've got this circumstance that I'm already consumed with. My life is built around these sheep and all of this, and that's great news, and I'm excited about that. But you know, we'll catch that. You know, maybe we'll see it later, or maybe whatever. But they never go to the manger. They never go to see the child that was spoken of. What would their life look like a few weeks later? They might have told people about the angel. They might have told people about the vision. They might have told people about the heavenly host and all of that. But more often than not, a few weeks pass. Life's all the same. Did I really see that angel? A lot of crazy things happened out there in the pasture. Maybe they talked themselves into the fact that maybe it was all a dream. Maybe I really didn't. Maybe, you know, we never did see that. Well, maybe nothing ever changes for them after that night fades into the oblivion of their memory. All of the different ways that they could explain away or justify, you know, I was really tired that night and, you know, my allergies are acting up and I see things and hear things and, you know, maybe it wasn't what I thought it was. Have you ever known someone to hear the good news and nothing changes in their life? And later on, you meet them, you know, maybe that conversion wasn't what I thought it was. Maybe God isn't really as active in my life, you know, or just fades into oblivion. Have you ever known that to happen? To see if we will choose, make a choice. Every day, you know, it's not just gonna happen. You know, the baby's not gonna come to them. They gotta go to it and they've got to experience it. If we choose to do what God says, we trust that we will find what God has promised. They get there and it's just as the angel said. Their life has changed even more. In Psalm 19, 8 and 9, we're going to get there and read that. Psalm chapter 19. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. You know what that scripture is saying literally? When we obey what God says, when we listen to the good news and change our life and live according to make decisions based on the good news that God has given us, there is an illumination to our lives. There's light to our eyes. There's understanding to our eyes. The world starts to make sense. And our lives start to fall into place. That's what that means. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. When we choose to do what God says, we'll find, we'll trust, we will be in a place to not only hear, but experience the good news. The last thing, what do these guys do? In Luke 2, they went and they told people. We don't know much about the rest of their life. These shepherds, they just kind of, you know, they're not spoken of again. But you know what they do? They spread the joy. They're so excited about what they've heard. They're so excited about what they've seen and what they've experienced. They've made a choice to listen to and to hear. They didn't turn a deaf ear to the angels when they came to tell them about their place in history and their place in the story. And they didn't, turn an apathetic back to their role in this. And they chose to do what God says, to look for their place in the story, to move from where they were into a place where they can experience the birth of Christ. And they go and they tell other people. You see, the reality is that all news travels fast. Not just good news, not just bad news, all news. All news travels fast. Case in point, anybody not heard of the insanity that's circulating around Tiger Woods right now? Proves to you right there that all the money in the world, all the fame, all the ability, all of the everything in that this world has to offer does not deliver 1 minute of joy. It doesn't. The life that we think, oh, if I just had that. Well, he does have that. And I pray for him. Are we praying for that? I mean, we all know his name. Are we, as a group, praying for this man whose life is in turmoil right now? Oh, he made his bed. Don't care. His life's in turmoil. Are we praying for this man? Are we spread? Here's the thing. All news travels fast. We have a choice. We have a choice of what news we are going to be a part of spreading. God says, I bring you good news. And it's of great joy. I bring you good news. And it's of great joy for all the people. My question to us is, do we want to be a part of spreading that kind of joy? Do we want to be a part of spreading the news that brings joy to all people? Do we want to bring news to people that's just going to tell them about other people that are broken? Do we want to tell them news about, you know, economies that are dying or businesses that are, or do we want to bring them news that is going to be for all people and brings great joy guaranteed? We have a choice. We choose to go and tell. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 7, and we will end with this. I tell you that in the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven. We all know that there's a parable of the lost sheep, parable of lost coin, lost son. When something that is lost is found, when something that is broken is brought into a saving relationship with God, what does God say? More rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than the 99 who are still there. What do we want to be a part of? Do we want to be the reason there's rejoicing in heaven? When we make a choice to go and to tell what God has done for us. You see, this Christmas season, we have the opportunity to celebrate. We have the opportunity to buy presents, to get presents. We have the opportunity to experience the Christmas holiday. But do we also understand that we have the opportunity to not only to experience the joy that God is giving to us, but to spread that joy to as many people as we would choose to affect? Just by telling them the good news. By telling them and then inviting and giving them an example of what it looks like to go and to be in a place where they can experience that good news and change their life forever. What are we choosing to experience? Are we choosing to experience the disappointment? Are we choosing to experience the heightened expectations of a broken world? Or do we choose to experience the joy? The choice is yours as together we stand and as we sing.